Please. It's my fault. I'm
Let's go quick. All right. We don't have. We're dedicated to learning again to Chaim Ben Pinchas. Memory should be an aliyah for his neshama. Right. Today we're going to discuss the three watches, the shalosh mishmarot. We're going to continue that which we studied last week, and then we're going to expand upon it. We're going to learn, depending on how much time we have, five different interpretations for this fascinating agadata. Okay, so let's go back to the agadata. If you open your sheets again, page number five. Okay, 3-5. And I'm hoping as we go along, you'll see even the new ones I'm numbering in succession. So if all goes well, the numbers will continue. Okay, so I know I can tell all this. I call this year Ein Yaakov and Ein Ayah. Ein Yaakov was one of the primary classical commentators on the Agadah. Ein Ayah is our cook. Today we probably skip Ein Ayah because it'll leave us off on a tangent, and we'll go to other mafarshim that are more clear. Ad sof ashmara rishona divrei Rabbi Elazar. So, as I've been learning this Gemara, when you learn it once and then you're like you're going to do it again the next week, you're like pondering it, and kind of like it's revolving in your head and your mind. So we mentioned this last week. I think it's an accurate description. The Laila, if you think about it, the Laila, the night is an allegory. The night it presents an imagery. So if I would ask you, what does the night represent? In Judaism, you would say to me, right? I said that last week. All things bad. I said that last week. So then I'm repeating myself. So dark times, correct? Okay. So we did allude to this. We talked about the guardianship of the night. We put it relate to that. Okay. So then when we're dividing the night up, you're dividing up the night. Then it has to relate to some degree. We're going to see it has to relate to this idea of dividing the galus into night. So let's read the Gemara again, and then I'll quote to you what Ein Yaakov said. Okay? I was going to make you all write things down and everything, but then I decided not to. Move myself on a chart. You can see. Have to prepare. Okay? Says Gemara the following, page 5. Atzav Ashmarat, Yibrei Rabbi Elazar. My Kasar Rabbi Elazar. Ikasav Ashalosh Mishmarat Have Laila. If the night is 3, Lema Ad Arbashot. Does he hold it's 4 or it's 3? So the Gemara says, "Le'olam kasaba shalosh mishmerot havelayla." The night is 3 mishmerot, 3 watches. Mishmerot mishmerot. Right, there are watches in the heavens and there are watches on the earth. So this, the Gemara, I mean, not when you really ponder it, then you realize the Gemara is telling you this is not a halachic discussion. What in the world does it matter to me that there are shalosh shmishmarot berakia? What are these three watches in the heavens? Like, why in the world should that have any influence on us whatsoever? It's a very interesting question. Then the Gemara expands upon this. So the Gemara is going to tell you exactly what he's talking about. Itani Rabbi Elazar Amar shalosh mishmarot haveh halayla. The night is 3 mishmarot. Is 3 watches. I'll call mishmar mishmar yoshev hakadosh baruch hu v'shoeg ke'ari. And on each mishmar, on each watch, God sits and roars like a lion. Shnei emar, as it says, Hashem mimarom yishag. God will from his marom high place will roar. Umimon kacho yiten kolo. From his heavenly place, he will give his call, his voice. Shaog yishag al naveu. He will roar al naveu on his naveu on naveh. On his beautiful thing. So what is God roaring about? It obviously only raises the question. What does it mean that God is roaring? What does it mean to you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu at each mishmar is roaring? Why would a lion roar?
He wakes up.
He wakes up?
Mm-hmm. Either to show his dominion, his I'm still king, or to show anger or displeasure.
The roar of a lion, generally, we think is of dominion. Okay, does it fit in this context? You say the reason why you said the second thing of displeasure is because in the context it doesn't seem to make sense. In the middle of the night, why is God roaring? The siman ledavar, and what is the siman? Mishmara rishona chamor no'er. The braying, the first mishmar is the braying of the donkey. Shnia klavim tzo'akim. The second mishmar, the dogs are tzo'akim. Howling. Shlishit, tinok yonek mishdei imo, v'isha mesaperet im ba'ala. The child suckles at the breast of its mother, and a woman speaks with her husband. It's like the chit chat, the early morning chit chat before the day begins. Now, just between you and me, I don't know what couple does this. You know, like wake up early and have time to chit chat in the morning. But apparently, some people do this.
Isn't there some form of the chmor is the chomer and the
okay, caliph.
I'm with that part.
Okay.
But then you got
the third one,
the tranquility, the shalva.
So you immediately notice the first two are negative, positive, donkey, dog.
I'd say negative.
But if you want to judge, it's got to sound negative. It sounds bad, right? It sounds.
I'd say more like chomer, chaos, and tranquility.
Chomer,
chaos.
Chaos of dogs?
Yeah.
And tranquility?
Yeah.
What are you going to do with that?
I don't know.
Right, exactly. So this is what all the mafreshim have to deal with. What in the world are we supposed to do with that? Right, and the first two are very different than the third one, right? You got the animals, you got a donkey, you got a cat, you got a cat, you got a dog, and then you have this nice little picture of the child and the mother and the husband and the wife. How, like, where does that fit in? What in the world is that connected to anything? Okay, and these three mishmarot. Okay, now, last week we saw Ein Yaakov. We don't have to read the whole thing again. I don't think it's necessary. Ein Yaakov, where did he appear?
The first two, you can say.
What?
The first two have a place in Torah. The donkey.
Yes, good.
Connected to Bil'am.
What is Bil'am? That's Aton. Chamor is?
Akedat Yitzchak.
What? How's Chamor Akedat Yitzchak? What?
When he says to his...
Shulachem po ima Chamor.
Okay.
Chamor is? Chomer. Chomriut. Right? Chamor, no air. Okay.
Chomer, the donkey. Doesn't donkey have a bechor as well?
Donkey, Peter, and Peter, Chamor. Yes. Okay. What do you know about dogs?
They didn't bark in Mitzrayim.
Very good. That's what we know. They didn't bark.
They're barking here.
What?
And now they're making
here they are barking. Okay. So the first thing we saw the last week,
so
we saw the
Ein Yaakov. The timing was the same, actually. You think the timing of the dogs barking would be the time where they didn't bark in Mitzrayim.
Why did they bark in Mitzrayim? No, they get it right. Why did they bark in Mitzrayim?
They didn't bark in Goshen.
Why did they bark in Goshen? Lo yecharetz kelev l'shono. The dog did not bark in Goshen. Why not? For a simple reason.
Because we were leaving.
No. Why do dogs not bark in Goshen?
They were there.
What? There were dogs. Why do dogs not bark in Goshen? The dogs didn't bark in Goshen because no one died. Where did they bark?
Okay.
They barked in Mitzrayim because... Right, what is it? So when does a dog bark? We're going to see? Right. Dogs can see the angel of death. Right. What else do we know about a dog? Where else do we find dogs in the Torah? Well, Noach to all the animals. But where do we see specifically a dog? Specifically any dog? Caleb, no.
It's not.
Ubasar basadeh trefa. Your bad meat, your treif meat, you throw it to the dogs. Why do we throw it to the dogs?
Because they didn't bark.
No.
Yes.
Okay, that's drash. But why do we give our treif meat to the animal, to the dogs?
Because they don't care.
The dogs, they'll eat anything. Have you ever seen dogs? They'll eat anything. Okay, so these images we're going to have to deal with. The two and then the one. So the first thing we saw was Ein Yaakov. Last week we saw Ein Yaakov. Ein Yaakov is essentially a Musar Shemuz. Okay? We're going to see first two pshatim. The first two pshatim are similar. The first one is the Musar Shemuz of Ein Yaakov. And he says that the first Mishmar, I have my chart here. First Mishmar, okay, the whole thing was to tell us to daven over the Churban throughout the entire night. Don't be lazy, if you recall, that was the theme last week. Don't be such lazy schlubs. Why? The first third of the night, you're so tired, you want to go to sleep? Too bad! If the chamor can stay up, so can you. The middle of the night, you're tired, you want to go to sleep? Too bad! The dogs can bark, so can you. And at the end of the night, you want to sit up and schmooze with your wife? Maybe you should get up and daven instead. That was his basic message. Stop giving in to your physical tendencies. Don't be such lazy bums. Go pray about the korban habayit. You all did that last week, over the past week? You're welcome. Okay, now we're going to look at the Maharsha. The Maharsha says the following. Look, I'm on page 6. Okay? So that is the opinion of the Ein Yaakov. The Maharsha says something similar. On page 6, look at the Maharsha. I don't remember, actually. I should know that. He's actually an Acharon. You find him in the back of the Gemara, and in the back of the Gemara, actually, The Maharsha is one of the only opinions on the Agarita that you find in regular Shas. You open up your Shas, you'll see the Chidushei Maharsha, Chidushei whatever, right? Torah, he writes on numerally, it's a commentary on the Baalei Tosfot. But then you'll also see, after his Perush, he has what's called Chet'al, Chidushei Agadot, which is one of the only Mefarshim Perushim that appears in the back of your standard Gemara on Agadah. Okay? Just worthwhile to be aware. Says the Maharsha the following, if you see in the second line, First wide line. See where it says Mishmara Rishona Chamor. See where it says that? Hagam Kibivadaya Dvarmim Kimashmaru Kipshata. And even though it's, of course, you understand in a simple way. Yeshlanu Latay Tam Bisimani Mala. We have to understand what is the reason for these simani. Humvuar Bimashikata Bilchelke Hanevesha Adam. These three symbols resonate, they resemble, or they represent the three types of the spirit of man. Shem Gimel Kochot, the three forces of life in a human being. Kiraum, they are called Tiv'it, nature. Chiyunit, life force. Chiyunit, I'm making that up. Chiyunit. No, you chance. What?
No, Chiyunit.
Chiyunit, but it's Chiyunit in not in modern Israeli terms. Chiyunit in a description of life, you'll see. V'sichlit, intelligence. Ubaale HaKabbalah Karum Nefesh Ruach Unishama. Right, the Kabbalist called it the nefesh. The three kinds of life are nefesh, ruach, and neshama. Chol pulot ha'adam kfi ha'pu'ula v'ha'ma'asa nimshach acharei kol achad me'em kfi zman ha'miyuchad lo. Each one it represents a certain aspect of the human life form. Hine, the pu'ulatam asher ba'layla techalek alei al malayla. Right, each aspect of life is taken on meaning in a different part of the night. Shabbat Chila is number one. See where I am? Shabbat Chila? It's kind of important to follow inside. Try to follow inside. Shabbat Chila, ha'adam va mimelachto. Person come home from work. Va'asakav. Shabbachol yom v'hu tarud bahem. And he's tired. Kedil kamal, as it says, adam va mina sadeh. V'zeh hazman hu kulo mipu'ulat nefesh tiv'it hanimshach achar hachomer shel ha'adam. Right, this is drawn from the chomer, the chomriyut, his physicality. V'alken nitanbo siman shebo chamor no'er. So the first part of the night, right, we are focusing, the human being is being refreshed. He's resting his chomer, his physical aspect. This is part two. V'emsi'ut shel ha'layla, in the middle of the night, derov ha'olam hem yeshenim al mitatan. Most people are sleeping. Right. What's alive? The only thing that's alive is your nefesh chiyunit ruchaniyit. Your soul.
Spirit.
During sleep. Kimo shekatuv, as it says, biyadcha afkid ruchi. I will place my ruach, my spirit, in your hands, God. Va'az nitan rishut gam leruchot. Ulumazikim lifol ba'ulam. That is the time of the night that the spirits and the demons and the mazikim, demons, negative spiritual forces, they dominate in the world. K'mashe katub b'makat b'chorot, as it says, b'chatzot ha'layla. Ve'al kein nitan bo siman shebo klavim tzo'akim. That's why it's called klavim tzo'akim. It's the time of the dogs crying out. Right, based on what it says in the verse. Remember, we quoted that pasuk. Klavim tzoakim, when the dogs are barking, malach hamavet ba leir. Right, when the dogs are barking like crazy. I never told you, it's like the Terminator. You know, when Terminator shows, the dog goes crazy. ובמכת בחרות שניתן רשות למשחית לחבר ממצרים, והיו כלבים צועקים. ואף על פי כן, and nonetheless, ולכל בני ישראל לא יחרץ כלב לשונה. I'm on four lines from the bottom of the Maharsha, on page Dalet. Page 6 in our sheets. ושליש האחרון מן הלילה, and the third aspect of the night, שכבר גמר האדם שינתו, והוא מנוח ומרוגה. And he is calm, and he is like, he is margoa, appeased. Kama shamar b'midrash, etc., etc., v'tur, b'seichel ha'adam zach, and man's seichel is pure, As Torah ulutfila, it's pure for Torah and tefillah. Shein ke'ulot nefesh ha-sichlit ha-neshama bo. Ve'al ken, nitan bo siman tinok yonek. Like, what is the child who is sucking from its mother's breast? That's the Jewish people. We're learning Torah from Hashem. And we're davening. Ma hadad hazeh kol sha'a sha'tinok yonek mimenu motziva, af tam, af Torah. Just like the breast always supplies milk for the child, so too the Torah always has taste. Then the Mashiach goes on and he says, based on this, different dreams that take place during different times of the night are related to whatever time of the night you had your dream. He says, the Gemara says the following. Isha misakra, let's go on. Hu remes ha'isha, hi kineset, page 8. Hi kineset, page 8. The inside column. Yisrael. So he says there are three times of the night. First time of the night is the time when you physically recharge. Second time of the night is when you spiritually recharge, everybody's sleeping. That's when the mazikim are out. Don't go out at night. Third time of the night, towards the morning, is the time when your mind is clear. It's the ideal time for Torah and tefillah. Okay, the mishmar before you get up. Remember also that in agrarian societies, people didn't get up after sunrise. Nobody did. You got to be crazy. That's a total waste of time. People woke up before sunrise. You had to be ready at sunrise to go work. So if there was ever going to be a time where you were going to engage in spiritual pursuits, it wasn't night when you were tired. It was early in the morning, before your day began. That was the time that you could engage in spirituality. Okay. One second. Here we are. V'al davar zeh...
Yeah, Birkat HaTorah we don't do until after.
Alo, Dalat HaShachar, 72 minutes before.
It's what time?
Really early. Yeah,
that's the Mishmar, that's the third Mishmar?
Yeah, towards the end of the third Mishmar, sure.
That's the end.
Right.
You're saying you want to learn from the beginning of it.
When is God, these Shalosh Mishmarot, the Gemara is going to talk about, when is these Gemara, what is he talking about? Is he talking about the middle of the Mishmar? The Gemara says no, he's really talking about the end of each Mishmar. Because the problem is, why do I need to know three? I only need to know two. Because if there's three Mishmarot, I only have to demark the middle ones. But nonetheless, he says, no, he's really talking about the end of each Mishmar, that God roars at the end of each Mishmar. We'll get to it in a minute. He says, well, devise that third line in the Marsha, There are three kinds of dreams. One is an angel, an angelic dream. Second is the demonic dream. Say that 10 times fast. And the third one is, whatever I was thinking about during the day. Which is the dream of the malach? When do we have the angel dreams? Those are good dreams. You have a dream right before you wake up? That's an angelic dream. When is the demon dream? Page 9. Right? The dreams that you have as soon as you fall asleep, those are the ones that you're still thinking about the day. So he says what this whole Gemara is telling you, you have to know the different aspects of the night. It's important for you to know because that has influence on the things that you experience, on the spiritual reinvigoration that you get. In addition, you also have to know that's the nature of the type of dream that you're going to have is based on when you're having it. Now this is all fine and good. What's the problem with this interpretation? The problem with this interpretation is, what does it have to do with God roaring each time? What do I care if God is roaring apparently about some kind of chorba? So the Ein Yaakov, what did he do with the roaring? What did he say with that? He said, yes, each is different times of night, but he said it's different times of night that you should be praying about the chorba. So therefore he tied it to the notion of chorba. The Mashiach didn't do that. He just says it's these, three different times a night. He doesn't really explain why it's connected to the chorba. He goes on a little bit, like God is roaring, but I didn't really see how he connects it to the idea of the chorba per se. That's interpretation number two. Anybody with me still? I'm going to skip real quick.
There are three Beit Mikdash.
Yes.
The first and second and the... So maybe there's a connection here. And the third one is the Ragua, the one when everything's relaxed and everything comes and it's peace. And it's
beautiful.
It's,
Beautiful. Look at the Benny Sky. Now we're going to look at page 11. Benny Sky, I didn't know when I started doing this research. I was like, you can see I'm like really into these Agaritas. You know, I really, really like this stuff. It's very, very meaningful. But I'm like, there's another page. New page. Okay? I'm not sure, I mean, I could keep these back if you want, but they're meant to be kept in order. You're welcome to write them if you want. Okay? I'm not really aware of, there aren't that many classical commentaries on Agarita. There's the Enyaqov, there's the Marsha, the stuff around the Enyaqov, so the Marsha is all on the Enyaqov that I showed you.
There are no translations on it.
There is a translation of the Agada itself, of the Gemara itself. But of these commentaries, nothing. Really nothing. And Ayah would be impossible to translate, because our cook is just so verbose and poetic. Not always. You'll see, he has an agenda to get across. So I found, I actually sent an email to my rabbi friends on this rabbi email list that I'm on, and they came back like in minutes. So one of them suggested Ben Yehoyada. Ben Yehoyada is the Ben Ishchai, and he wrote a parasha on Agadita, so we'll see a bunch of that also. Sadly, the Maharal did write a parish on Agadah, but his parish on Bracha was lost. So you don't know where it is. But someone suggested, and I think accurately so, Maharal was notorious for repeating himself. And he said the same things over and over again. So he says, if you do a search, if you look for Maharal enough, you could find basically enough Maharal and men most of the important sugyot in Agadita and Bracha. And so we were so lucky here, as we'll soon see. Let's look at Ben Yehoyada. Daf Gimel Shlosha. This is Ben Ishchai. He even gave a nice little picture. Sirayam on page 11. Daf Gimel Shlosha Mishmerot Havei Halayim Levalko Mishmar Mishmar. Yesh Lamar. So I wonder, Lama Harich Lamar Ko Mishmar Mishmar. What is this unusual language of on each Mishmar Mishmar? V'od Lama Dima Hashiiga Hazot. L'sha'agat aryeh. Why is this roaring connected to the roaring of a lion? What's the reference to the lion here? He says, "V'nira li b'siyata d'shmaya, l'faresh t'chila ma'amar ha'gemara b'chulin daf nun tet." So he says, I'm going to explain this gemara based on a story in chulin daf nun tet. And he's going to quote the whole gemara, so I'll read it for you. Amar le kezar, the Rabbi Yeshua Rabbi Chanina. The Kesar said to Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Chanina, Eloheichem ki aryeh matil. Matil in Aramaic means mashil. Your God is like a lion. Dichtiv, aryeh she'ag. As it says, he is a lion who roars. He is a roaring lion. Gotta get less crunchy stuff. What happened to the chips? Okay. My Rabute, can't win. My Rabute. I'm not having it, so you guys, I'm trying to be good today. I want to go running out there. What does that teach you? He says, meaning, what is the... So Rav Shua ben Chanina says, what are you trying to say? What are you really trying to say? He says, Parsha katil aryeh. He says, well, the hunter kills the lion. Meaning, the intelligent human being can kill your God. Amar le, laiv kahai aryeh matil. He says, my lion is not like your lion. It's not that kind of lion. This is a special kind of lion. This is an exalted kind of lion. So the Kesar said, I want to see this lion. He says, no, I can't show you. So he says, really, in truth, I really want to see it. So the Gemara says, Bai rachame, it akar mi duchte. So, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chanina davened, and the lion moved from its place. This heavenly lion that represents God. Ki havi merchak arba mea parse. When the lion was 400 parsa, miles, kilometers, whatever you want to say, from the Kesar, nihem chad kala. He let out a roar. 400 whatever's away. Afilu kol ma'avarta b'shurei derome nafal. Right, that roar shook the whole, all the streets and the shuk and the markets of Rome. And the merchak tlat mea parse, 300 away, nihem kala achrina, netur kacha v'shine de gavre, the teeth and molars of all the men fell out from the power of the second roar. V'afhu nafal mikurse la'ara, so the Kesar fell onto the ground. Amarle bematuta minach, I beg of you, boy rachame ale lahadir leduchte. Do me a favor. I changed my mind. pray so that this lion, wherever he is, doesn't get any closer. By Rachamei ve'ahadalei la'atrei ad kan. So that's the end of that Gemara. That's the Gemara in Chulin about the roar of the lion. So he's like, what in the world is the roar of the lion? Hine bevadai hashi'igot hanaz hanav. These lion, these roars, v'hamapalash haita mikolcham, and the destruction that they caused, hakol haita b'hashkacha min hashamayim, lachrid hakesar. All of this was hashkacha to lachrid, to make him tremble, to make the Caesar tremble. V'lirmoz bazer b'mizot, and to hint to him. V'tzarach l'inyan ma inyan haremes anir moz bazer. So what's he trying to hint to him? Saying God is a lion who roars 300 away. 200 away, and then no more roars after that. There's only two roars. Nearly b'siyata d'shmai sheramzu b'zeh. They hinted at this. Shelo yihyeh she'iga al she'ela al shnei batim. Two houses. Two Beit HaMikdash. Rishon v'sheini. Aval al bayit shlishi. Lo yesh she'iga chas v'shalom. There will be no roar. Roar of? What kind of roar is this?
Anger.
Anger. Lament. Upset. There will be no third roar. Ki hu kayam le'olam ve'eino charev. It will endure forever and never be destroyed. Ve'lachein ha'aryeh arag shnei ha'she'igot. Ve'achar she'iga shniya nafal ha'kezar shu melech edom. After the second roar, the kezar fell onto his knees. The kezar, the Caesar, represents the king of Edom. Lermoz al mapalat Edom. Sha'azachar kach yibaneh bayit shlishi. Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Da'ad. Okay, that's the Gemara. That's the Gemara in Chulin. What does that have to do with us? Hine Mishmar Remez LeBeit Hamikdash. The Mishmar is the Beit Hamikdash. Shehu Mishmeret LeYisrael. VeOlam Hazeh Shehu Shisha Alafim Shana Nikra Laila. Remember, this world, the 6,000 years, is night. VeOlam Haba Nikra Yom. Ubayish lishi yibaneh koding yishlemu bet alafim shana. The third Beit HaMikdash will be built before the end of the third Mishmar, before the end of the third dulenia, maybe you want to call it, the third 2,000 years. Alpaim shana. Shafilu im yishaer shanim. His language is unbelievable. Afilu im yishaer shanim muatim mina elef hashishi. Even if only a few years are left of the last millennia, the sixth millennia, Ya'arich HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tayamim, God will extend those days, L'kayem Samchenu Kiyemot Initanu. Right? He will give us joy and rejoice us like the days of our affliction. I have no idea what that means. I think it means, he thinks, that the Beis HaMikdash will endure the amount of years that we endured the Golos. Even if their time is not left. So it's like, I don't know, time warp, window in time, time extension. You can ask somebody shy. Okay? V'zeh shekatav shalosh mishmarot ha'vilayla. And that's what the Gemara is saying, the three mishmarot of the night, have a remez v'shlosha mikdashim, asher nivnim ba'olam hazeh hanikra layla. This is the three badei hamikdash that are built in this night. V'akol mishmar mishmar dahanu bayit echad, ubayit sheni bilvad, Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'sha'oreg ke'ari. God is sitting in heaven and roaring like a lion. Remez al bat kol shiyotzah b'tnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'sha'eget al churbanam. He's roaring, he's wailing on the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. V'lechein amar katu sha'og yish'ag. If you look back in the Pasuk, he will roarly roar, he will surely roar. Shtei she'igot anaveu zeh Beit HaMikdash. V'amar od, I'm at the top. Siman l'davar. So what's the simanim? Mishmara rishona hu bayit rishon. Chamor no air. Hakitruk haya. So what is the problem of the first Beit HaMikdash? Yishul bitul Torah. Shelo asku ba. Kechamor nemashvei. Right? They were like donkeys. What does a donkey do? He only engages in the physical. They forgot the importance of Torah. Umishmara shniya klavim tzoakim. Mekadrim bavur avon lashon hara. Right? They were destroyed because of lashon hara. Shemagbirimbo klipat klavim. That, the lashon hara that you speak, raises up the power of the klipa of the dogs. Bekach hamisaper lashon hara, if someone speaks lashon hara, ra'oy lashlichol leklavim, he should be thrown to the dogs. dogs were not very well thought of. Have you seen the Maharal? They didn't like dogs. The idea of owning a dog, not very, very popular in medieval times. Umishmarash lishi to bait shni shlishi shibana be mehera be amenu. Amen, right? Then that should be built. Ein bo shum chorban bekitru. There's no chorban there. Ela, otozman tinok, eli Yisrael. Right? We are the child. Dichtibahu kinar Yisrael, v'ohavo. Yonek nishteimo. We wean from the breast of the father, of the mother. Mekablim bo shefa bina shchina. So the imagery of the mother nursing is exactly that. Like the image of the mother nursing is a very, very powerless. It's like a nurturing, but on the other hand, the child is nothing. It can't do anything on its own. Okay, that's a very, very strong image. Where am I? Kolamam mekablim b'shevin shchena bilti emtsai adat kavanat ritzei v'achlitzeinu that we say shomim b'shabbat. V'od she'ela shnia, and another comparison, isha Yisrael. Misaperet im ba'ala kadosh baruch hu shelamdim Torah beruach hakodesh lo yedei rav. So what does it mean? Isha misaperet im ba'ala, that everyone will learn Torah through ruach hakodesh. You don't need some rabbi to teach you what it means. You speak to God directly. Kama shekatav b'chol banayach limudei Hashem uktiv kulam yedu uti uktam v'nibur b'neichem v'neuchteichem shekulam ruach Hashem diber bam. So says the Ben Yishai exactly like Johnny said. That the three mishmarot represent the two, two, and one. The two and one, it very much fits into this idea of the Batei Mikdash. The first one bad, second one also bad, third one very nice, very beautiful image. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu roars, the two roars of the lion describe the power of God, and is wailing, on the other hand, for the loss of the Batei Mikdash. And the third one, there is no roar anymore, because the Batei Mikdash will be built towards the end of the third mishmar, before the end of the third mishmar. That says the Ben Yishai is interpreting the Gemara. I must say, I mentioned last week, when we read the Ein Yaakov, Ein Yaakov left me, it's like, it's very nice, good Musar, you know, right, very good, but I'm also curious, I'm trying to think, like, this is the first Agadah, almost like the very first Gemara in Bracha. So, like, you know what I'm saying? And the question of the Gemara, of the Mishnah was, you know, Eimatai Koren Shema Ba'arvin. That's a theological question. When do we say Kriyat Shema? When do we have Emuna during the night? Like, if you think about it, in the broader question is, what is the issue? How are we supposed to maintain our faith through the darkness of the night? Because that's what Shema is all about. Kriyat Shema Halayla is saying, I believe in God even when it turns dark. I believe in, you know, the O Malchut Shemayim, even in the difficulty, not in the light of the day, but in the darkness of the night, in the darkness of these 6,000 years. And so Rabbi Lezer, that's where the Gemara comes to teach you. Like, to me, this much more speaks to me about, not, it's not a Musa Shemuz, not an idea, not a Marsha about, you know, about the nature of the night. It's about, it's trying to address, the very first Gemara is trying to address this issue. How long will the night last? Comes out Rabbi Lezer and says, it's three Mishmarot, we've been through two, but the third one will be soon. How long is the Mishmar? So that's up to each Parshan to interpret, to reestablish, to try to explain. But the idea, the basic answer is, I personally find the Ben Ishai's interpretation very compelling when I'm trying to really understand the context of the Gemara. What's the Gemara trying to say? And how is that, like, how are they trying
and
to
why I chose to make that the first Mishnah.
Right. Well, or, right. Right. Meaning, if you really think about it, and this is the beauty of this, the Gemara or the Mishnah, the ordering of Shas, isn't just a halachic issue. It's a theological discussion as well. Right? You know what I'm saying? Why not put Tefillah first? Why not put, I don't know, Shabbos first? Why not put anything first? No, the first thing the Gemara and the Bamli talks about is Kriyat Shema Halayla. Right? It's a hashkafic discussion. It's an ideological discussion. It's a critically important topic.
The first halacha of Shulchan Aruch
is the morning.
Is
Yitgaber Ka'ari.
Ka'ari. Wake up like a lion.
Mm. Ooh. Okay. Didn't think of that. Nice. Very nice. Okay. That's Ben Yoyada. That's like a couple more. Thumbs up.
Those are your teenagers wake up like a lion.
Like a lion. Is that the way you interpret it? Page 11 at the top. Thumbs up. And then I'll give you the. We started late, so I'm going to. I don't know if I'll go a little late. I don't know how lachutz you are for. Meyer, are you lachutz?
No.
Looks like I'm starting at time. Okay, whatever. Chatam Sofer, he says very briefly, Shrava Shach Amun Hora. Yesh la olah, yesh lomar, haolam hazeh domeh lelayla. Betchila, this is Gemara. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, it's a very famous Gemara. The world's divided 6,000 years. Bet Alafim, did you mention this last week? I think Kevin maybe mentioned it last week. Bet Alafim Tohu. Where's my cell phone? I searched for it on my cell phone. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, I think it's Tet Amud Aleph. Let's see, here we are. Yeah. Tanit Me'eliyahu, Sheshet Alafim Shana Ha've Ha'olam, Sheshet Alafim Tohu, Shnei Alafim Torah, Shnei Alafim Yemot HaMashiach. That's what the Gemara says. You know, these things are good for something. 2,000 years of Tohu Vavohu, of nothingness. 2,000 years of Torah from the time the Torah was given. And 2,000 years of Yemot HaMashiach. What I find most fascinating about this Gemara, and that Gemara is, it's not true. It's very difficult to say that you weren't in Yemot HaMashiach. Yemot HaMashiach started 2,000 years ago. How can you interpret that?
Well, everything starts with the night.
What?
Everything starts with the night.
Really? That's what you call Yemot HaMashiach? Maybe that's what they intended? I personally believe...
When does the day start?
I personally believe...
Maybe it starts from the destruction of the Second Temple.
Why would that be getting Yemot HaMashiach? Really?
Because
we're now in Yemot HaMashiach? We're arguing about whether the state of Israel is Yemot HaMashiach. You're going to tell me that, like, you know, pogroms in Poland are Yemot HaMashiach? Oh, yeah, that's Yemot HaMashiach. Thank you.
Why? Because the next one is the last one.
Come on. I personally believe, whenever you study, especially when you study predictions of Yemot HaMashiach, like predictions of eschatology, Chazal always tried to say, right now, we're there, right now. Right. When in the Chazal, the Tkufa HaGemara, what would they say? They would say, Shnei Alafim Tohu, Shnei Alafim Torah, and then the Chorban HaBayit was destroyed. But don't worry, because as soon as we get to the third Mishmar, Yemot HaMashiach. So one could suggest, based on this, that what was Rabbi Lezer saying? He was doing the same thing. The Gemara is starting off and saying, how long will the night last? The three Mishmarot, that's exactly what he says. The first 2,000 years was the dynasty of the Egyptians, and Anikraim Chamor. Commander Amar Asher Basar Chomorim Bisaram. That one was fixed. Sharizachu Mikan, the Peter Chamor, right? In Egypt, that's when we learned about Pidyon Peter Chamor. I don't get these Kabbalistic allusions, just take them. Chatziha Acharon Adain lo Nitkan Mishishlitat HaKalavi Klavim Adain Ba'olam. Shekein Ketiv L'chol B'nei Yisrael L'Echaratz. Hakavana Shelo Yihaya Koach L'Hara Lanu. The Kelev, the dog, couldn't get us. Aval Etaknam Yifshar. U'la'ati Lavo, in the future, Bet Alafim Yemot HaMashiach Yitukan HaKol. Everything will be fixed. V'yatinok L'Yisrael Yonek Mishdei Imo. Visha Hashchina Misaperet Yim Ba'al Life. He's alluding to something. But he seems to be alluding to the fact that we're like somewhere in the middle. We're caught. We're stuck. We're stuck in these, like, 2,000 years of Torah somehow. We haven't hit the Yemot HaMashiach. But then what do you do with the 6,000 years? Is the whole world 6,000 years? Something's backwards. It's like it's very unclear what exactly he's saying. But he's clearly connecting this Gemara in Avodah Zarah to this idea of the Gemara. I personally believe, without any knowledge whatsoever, that you could say that Rabbi Lezer is making a prediction, like everybody else. Mashiach is on the way. You know, all Chazal really believed it. Rabbi Akiva believed it. People believe that he was in Yemot HaMashiach. They believe that Mashiach is just around the corner. We just need to do just a... And then Yemot HaMashiach will come. Which is what you're supposed to believe. But then, if that was true, if that's the accurate interpretation, you know, like you're saying, the three batim makes sense, right? The first one, Chamor Noer. Second one, Klavim. Who are the dog? First one, you could say, who destroyed the first one? Yavan. The second one, the dogs. Who are the dogs? The Romans. It's so hard to imagine that they would call the Romans a bunch of dogs. And the third one, Yemot HaMashiach. That's when the Mashiach will be built. You know, it's the Jewish eternal hope. The yearning for you know, the better existence. Last one, Maharal. Now that we're on the final interpretation of Maharal, okay, which he also interprets his Gemara in terms of Galut, but not in a historical sense, on page 12, not in a historical sense, but instead he interprets it in a metaphorical sense, that galut, each galut has its own symbology, has its own sort of progression. He says the following, this is from Netzach Yisrael, a commentary on Netzach Yisrael, any Maharal scholars here? I'm really not a Maharal scholar. I found this here. Okay.
He's missing today.
Oh, Kevin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shoeg. Yesh Lishol. He's still probably. Lama b'chol mishma mishma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shoeg. Oy, why is he roaring each time? Aber yesh lecha l'da'at shahalayla hu choshech hu domeh l'galut shiyisrael yoshim b'choshech v'lo or. Of course, he says the same imagery. But the darkness is the darkness of the galut. Ulekach kasher ligalu liYisrael, when the Jews are redeemed, katuiv, it says, la'idim haita ora. Ulekach halayla siman legalut. So that we can all agree on, right? Night is dark. Ukashem shalayla nechlak lishlosha mishmarot, kach hagalut nechlak lishlosha chalakim. He says every galut has three unique aspects. V'hem domim legamrei la'mishmarot shem b'layla. And they are directly comparable to the mishmarot of the night. Why? Kihem siman shloshet chagei galut v'lachach. And therefore, Hashem Yitzbarach Yoshev b'shoeg al kol mishmar oili. God, he is each mishmar. The Maharal says that each aspect is bad. There's three roars. Ki b'tchila kasher ba b'galut hayu netunim ol al Yisrael u'machbidim aleihem hagalut. At the initial part of the galut, right, the exilers placed the Jewish people under a difficult, strenuous burden, and they put this yoke on them. V'haya Yisrael nosim ol umasa tamid, and the Jews have to bear this terrible burden. Ad shiyeh Yisrael domeh kemor chamor, and so the Jewish people are like this donkey that are just pulling a load. I looked in another version. We're going to see a version where he says in the footnotes and another version on the Torah. He says that they tax us like crazy. They make us pay these ridiculous taxes. So we bear the brunt, we bear the burden, we carry this incredibly heavy burden in the first half of Galut. V'zot chilat Galut hayu nogim kach, v'hu machud bavel haya chelek echad mi Galut. That represented it by machud bavel. Chelek bedam, second paragraph. Hu dor shel shmad. This is the generation of shmad. Shayu gozvim aleihem mita u'shmad. V'hu keneged shmura habet shaklavim soakim. Right, the second aspect, the second element of Galut is murder, is genocide. Uklavim soakim usiman mita. That's a sign of death. Kamashkatav, klavim soakim malach amavet ba'ir. Kach haya chelak ha'sheni shemin ha'galut shayu hogim bahem umimitim otam. Ulekach amar mishmura bet klavim soakim. Okay? The third one, chelak shlishi min ha'galut. It's interesting. Enak shmad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shomer amo mizeh. The third aspect of Galut says there's no destruction. V'nohagim ha'umot im Yisrael k'mosh noheg habal im ha'isha. They love us in the third part of the Galut. Ki nechshavim ba'al Yisrael k'mosh ne'mar ba'alonei adonim zulatecha v'abal kasher lo timsa isha chen b'inav hu megarsha. But when the husband doesn't like the wife anymore, what does he do? He kicks her out. Kach ha'umot kasher Yisrael ein motzim chen b'inehem megarshim otam. Says Galut is a three-step process. First they hit you, they burden you, they make you work, whatever, physical suffering. And then they kill you. And then they love you. And then they kick you out. And then it starts over again.
Are we in the love you phase?
Are we not? Nobody knows what we're in now.
Okay.
We're in some in-between, some God only knows what. But that's what he says. Each step, and when you go to a Galut, first they make you work, then they kill you, and then they forbid, and then they love you. And then they get sick of you, and then they kick you out. Okay? Powerful. What in the world does that mean? At the end of the Galut, Yonkim Yisrael, the Jewish people, they suckle. Shenechrevu tinukat betorah. They are suckling, they're like children in Torah. What in the world is this mean? They didn't have any rest, and they were exiled from place to place. They forgot Torah. What is he talking about? I found another version. There was a really modern version with an incredible footnote where he quotes from Maharal. He says the same thing in a drasha on the Torah. And he says the following. Look at footnote 111. Okay? Da 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 da. Okay. Shemishmar Shlishi. But Amar it says. This is his drashot on the Torah. Tinok Odeg Mishnei. You'll see right in the bottom on 11. Ki Mishmar Shlishi Yesh Od Siman. Sheni Imashalotim Sabashah Mishmarot. How come in the third one there's a second symbol? So we get the child, right. We get the Isha Misaper. But what is the third one? It's almost the morning. The geula is almost there. Therefore, just like in the morning, the child is suckling from its mother. The Jewish people are child. The child has no wisdom. The Jews have no chokhmah, no wisdom of their own. Rak hayonkim v'nikreim em Yisrael. Hem asher lifneim hayu. They only suckle from those which came before him. Shechibru hasfarim shemitocha mechafsim u'memashmashim. How do they get their answers? This is like prophetic what he says. He says they just search for answers in the books that they had before them. As the child, he's like sucking on his mother's breast, trying to find the milk. But when they have their own intelligence, this doesn't happen. So he says, this is the part of the galut. It's unbelievable what he says. He says that the way you know the Jews are in the end of galut, when they stop having intelligence to learn Torah on their own. But all they're willing to do is to say, what did the Rabbani before me tell me? I looked it up in this sefer, and this sefer says this, and that sefer says that. But the Maharal says, but they don't have the ability to say, this is what the Torah means for us today. We're being mechadesh for ourselves now. And there is nothing, I mean, this is like an unbelievable thing, that this is an exact description of the time that we live in. That everything is based upon what the Sfarim saying, what the precedent says, and nothing, we can't mechadesh anything today. And we find ourselves in a very static state from a Torah point of view. And I saw this, I was like, wow, I can't believe. The Maharal says, this is the end of the Galut. You know the Galut is at the end, when on the one hand, the nations of the world love us. But from the Torah perspective, we're just like children. We don't have dat atzmeinu. We don't have the ability to learn on our own, and to create on our own, and to be independent Torah thinkers. Something that the Maharal believed was not true in his time, but would be true later on. There is no greater description to our predicament, our situation, from a Torah perspective, than what Maharal described back then. Mitzvah Hashem, we're at the end of the night. Looking at the morning.
According to Maharal.